Now, we're starting a new series this month, and I've called it Dealing with Temptation and Overcoming the Strategies of the Devil. And this is just something that came to my mind over the past week. So we'll be looking at that across the next few weeks over this month. Now, I was like, my goodness, this sounds like one of those topics that you go on YouTube, you do a search, and you come back with all these like conspiracy theories, like, you know, be careful, the devil is doing this and that. We're not really concerned with that. We're Christ-focused. However, I think what will be useful as well for us is if we can really understand what temptation is all about and the strategies of the devil. The Bible says that we should not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. There is someone out there who, some people might say, well, the devil doesn't exist, but he does exist. However, we don't want to accord more, time to the devil than is required. We know that the devil is a defeated foe, so he has no authority over us because of what Christ has done. However, he's still working in the background. In some countries, he's very visible. He does his stuff very visibly. And in some countries, he wears a tie and a suit and is very subtle, but he's still the same devil. However, we want to just understand a number of things around temptation and the strategies of the devil so that when these things appear to us, as it does every single day, we know what's happening, we know how we can deal with it. So today I'm going to be looking at a number of points around dealing with temptation and overcoming the strategies of the devil. Then as we go along, we'll look at how do we deal with temptation. Everybody faces temptation. How does it happen? You know, there are times that you come across someone and they're really sad and they're lamenting and they're saying, I cannot believe I actually did this thing that I did. It is properly out of character for me. Or you hear of some people who go through certain things and you're like, no, how could that have happened? I mean, those are the things that we're looking at and that we'll be looking at over the next few weeks so that you and I can understand the basis of temptation and we can nip it in the bud as you know we go along. So today I'm going to be looking at three things. What is temptation? Who gets tempted? Are certain people exempt? I'm sure you guys know the answer to that. And the third thing I'm going to be looking at is, what is the aim of temptation? What is the aim of temptation? So those are the three things that I'll look at this morning for the next 30 or so minutes, and we'll pray. So the first thing is, what is temptation? I went online and I Googled a number of definitions. So I've got some Google definitions here. If you work for Google, don't worry, I'll reference you my... So don't sue me for using your definition if it's you. So two definitions here. It says the first one I got is, it is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. The desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. The second definition I got is a thing that attracts or tempts someone. A thing that attracts or tempts someone. And I know, so the type of temptation I'm talking about, or that I'll be talking about in the next few weeks, is not your, man, there's that big pot of ice cream that's in the freezer, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Man, I'm really tempted to just take a walk and grab some of it. But I know you guys don't do that. You're so disciplined. You don't participate in, you know, raiding the fridge at 2 a.m. And I don't want anybody to look at me funny. Because I'm not guilty of that often. So I'm not talking about that type of temptation, which is like, okay, you have these little desires here and there. I'm talking about the temptations that come from the devil. And here it says something. It says it is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. Next week, we'll look at what that means, how temptation happens. So I don't want to jump the gun here, but there's something that sticks out there in this definition, desire. desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. So temptation isn't really always the target of what you want to do is wrong. It might be that it's the means by which one goes about it that is wrong in this context. So say, for example, one might have the desire, for example, to, you know, you see like you're a guy, you see a girl that you want to get married to or something, and you know, like you have a desire to want to be with this person in the future. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that desire at all. Now, it becomes a slight challenge when that person is wanting to be with someone who is already married. You get what I mean? So it's like you have a desire as a guy, which isn't, you know, it's fine. But it now becomes temptation when that desire is focused on the wrong thing. So you realize that temptation oftentimes is not always doing something wrong, but it's how one goes about it, the actual basis for doing that thing. But we'll look at that in more detail next week. So, but basically, temptation is doing something or something that is wrong and unwise. So let's just bear that in mind. So the next question is, who gets tempted? Who gets tempted? I know you guys do not get tempted at all. You've got it all together. You know, it's just, you know, Pastor Benson sometimes, I just feel that, man, I need to just not go to church this morning, roll over in bed, put my leg. The truth of the matter is, we all get tempted. Now, let's look at the first temptation. We'll look at two here. So I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Sorry, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. We want to look at the very first temptation in here. How did it come about? What was the basis for this? Then we'll look at another one in more detail shortly. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And I will read out the scriptures from here. I'm reading the NIV version, but whatever version you like is fine. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from that tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate. She also gave some of it to her husband who was with her. So we see something here. This is like the basis and the fundamental approach to temptation from the devil. And he comes to Eve and he says, "Hi, how are you doing? The sun's shining, isn't it? Nice weather." And she says, "Yeah, nice weather." And he goes on and he says, "Oh, by the way, how was your week last week?" "Like, you know, my week was fine." Then he switches the conversation. And he now begins to say, "Well, by the way, it appears that this God that you're talking about is really hiding some things from you. He doesn't really want you to have the full picture." And she's like, "Hang on. No. God's not hiding anything from us. God loves us." And he says, "Really?" And the conversation starts. So we begin to see that temptation starts from having the conversation in our minds. It just doesn't jump on us. It starts with the conversation in our minds that, well, this thing that I really desire is not really, I mean, it's okay to do this thing. It's okay. I mean, the next time that my boss tells me anything that I don't really like, I'm going to give him a slap. Or when, I mean, we don't do that. I'm just using that as an example. The next time my neighbor tells me something that is, I mean, Or the next time my husband just says, can you please get me a cup of coffee, please? I'm going to really let him have it. Does he think that I'm his servant? The conversation starts in the mind. And Satan began that conversation with her. And it was like a harmless conversation, in quote. He now does a shift. He now begins to look at the desires that she has. What is the desire that this woman has? What is it that I can use to get her attention and take the conversation in another direction? So he now says, hang on. I think there's a desire she has to want to be wise, which is good. She wants to have knowledge of good and evil, well, which is good. I'm going to use that. Then he begins to do something. He begins to question the character of God. And he's saying, God is really hiding this thing from you. And he begins to tug at her desire, the things that really she liked to do, the things that in themselves were not really bad. And he begins to feed those desires. He begins to tug at those things. Why? Because he wanted to take her somewhere that she didn't know she was going to end up. I remember someone was telling us a story. Well, this is a third-hand story. And he said this woman in London, it's like real-life story. She walked past this shop. She was doing window shopping. And she saw this really nice dress, but extremely expensive. You know, window shopping. So she sees it. Oh, really nice dress. She walks past. She's going home again. She walks past. She sees this dress. And gradually, something just about this dress just got to her. She began to dream about this dress. But man, it's so expensive. It's so... and all that. And she let it go. Then a thought came to her mind. How about if you walked into that store, took that dress into the changing room? They have this clippy things that, you know, sounds the alarm. Clip it off. You have your dress. And she said that she could not believe, she could not believe that she almost got to the point of going into that store to take the dress, clip off that alarm thing, and disappear with it. And I think she just caught herself. And she's like, hang on, how did this happen? A dress is going to get me in all this trouble? Well, the conversation started in her mind. And I believe the conversation was, you really deserve that dress, by the way. And by the way, if you're planning to buy a dress, you know, this is, you know, please go ahead. I'm just using this as an analogy. I know what you're saying. Oh, Pastor Benson said that dress thing. No, it's an analogy, please. And it took her. And she said she snapped out of it. It was as if she was in a spell. And she now realized that something had happened to her. She had been fantasizing about this dress every day, lying down, waking up. That was all she was thinking about. And it now switched. So the same thing here, we see that the devil manipulates our desires sometimes and tries to take us to a place that we're not expecting to go to. Do you understand? So temptation happens to everybody. Every day we see things that we want to do. Every day we see things that we desire. And what temptation does from the devil is he takes the desires that we have and tries to manipulate those desires to land us or to take us somewhere that we don't want to get to. And when he does it, he just steps back and lets that person suffer the consequence. Do you understand what I mean? So the other thing we see as well is the same thing happened to Jesus as well in Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 to 10. Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 to 10. So we're looking at the second point. Who gets tempted? Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 to 10. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up on their hands so that you not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So we see another scenario here where Satan even has the audacity to confront God himself, to tempt God. But it follows the same pattern as we see here. The reason why Jesus came was to die for our sins, to save the world. And Satan was offering him like a shortcut here. He was saying, look, you don't have to stress yourself, all this cross business, all these things. Just bow down to me and I'll make it happen. That's all you have to do. I will make it happen. So he was trying to manipulate the desires of Jesus, which was to save mankind, to regain the world for God. So it was a good thing. That was Jesus' main desire. But the devil came and he began to try to manipulate the desire that he had so that Jesus would just circumvent everything he came for. Now, so what am I saying here? I'm saying here that temptation comes to each and every one of us. We will face it in one form or the other. Adam and Eve faced it. They were the first ones that plunged us into all this problems that we're in at the moment. Even Jesus faced it. And you will face it as well. In fact, you've probably faced it so many times. In fact, maybe you're even facing it right now. Do you get what I mean? So it is a clear and present thing in the life of every individual. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, that has nothing to do with it. There was this army general that in the United States, I've forgotten his name. This is public record, by the way, so I'm not saying anything that is outstanding record. This man, in America, one of the most decorated generals in the U.S. Army, and he had retired, married, had probably in his 70s or something, married, grandkids, wife, and all that. Very notable general, very well respected in the country as well. And he decided to do his autobiography. So he had this writer come, this woman come, and she spent time with him, just, you know, taking down his story and all that, and writing his autobiography. After a while, something happened. He had an affair with this woman, and it became a big deal in the States, all over the news. Now, you know, social media now, anything, everybody just jumps on it. And it devastated this man, devastated his marriage of over 50 years, his relationships, and all that. And they were asking this man, why did you do this? Why did you jeopardize your reputation, your family, your wife, all these things? I mean, why? I don't think he had an answer. He had no answer. So he went through this temptation thing, and before he could open his eyes to realize what was happening, he had already landed in the other side. So what am I saying here? These ones are kind of like really out there temptations where it's like, you know, big bad things happen. But how about like the regular everyday temptation? There's the temptation that we distrust God. There's the temptation that comes to us that, look, God, does God really care about you? Really? All these days you've been praying, going to church, reading your Bible, but there are certain things that are not happening in your life. Man, you better take it easy. Take a chill. This God that you're talking about, you need to, like, you know, take it easy. he might not be all he says he is. But we might not voice this out because, like, man, how about if I'm having a conversation with a pastor and I say, does God exist? Like, man, so you just keep it in your heart. That's temptation as well. Temptation to really make you distrust that God actually loves you, that God has a plan for you, that every step of your life, God is right by your side. I spoke to a couple of people this week, and there was this individual I spoke with, and I said, oh, how are you? And you know, how are things and all that? And they gave me like a really harsh response. They said, don't, how are you anything, you know? You know, don't, you know, it's like someone like telling you, like tapping you. Someone that you, they are, you know, they're concerned about you, and they, and like, how are you doing? Oh, don't, you know, and like, hang on, you know, I just said hello in this instance. And I realized that, like, look, what's going on here? And they calmed down and said, look, what's up? And they began to tell me how they believe God has disappointed them, how, and they said, why would God do this to me? I've done this. And I said, look, calm down. God is not the one that is doing this to you. This is just part of everyday life. God is not the one that is punishing you for anything. They were going through a season of temptation. Now, I'm going to end with the last point. So I've spoken about, we've looked at what is temptation, we've looked at who gets tempted, and we've seen that it's everybody. The last point I want to make is, what is the aim of temptation? Again, distinguishing between temptation of, like, you know, going to the fridge in the midnight. No, not that kind of temptation. I'm talking about the, like, really... the really bad ones. What is the aim? I'll look at John 10 and verse 10a. The first part of John 10, 10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So hold that thought. So we see that the aim of every temptation from the devil is to do one of three things, or all. It is to steal something from you, to steal your reputation, to steal your joy, to steal your marriage, to steal your friendships, or to kill the things you've been working on and to if he can, obliterate them. Do you understand? The devil wanted to do the same to Christ. He wanted him to fail right at the start. Jesus hadn't even started his ministry on earth, and he wanted to make him fail on the spot. The same thing he did with Adam and Eve. Threw them into this temptation thing. That's why we're all paying for all this at this time. So the aim of temptation is not good. It is to either kill, to destroy, or to do something. And this is where the strategies of the devil comes in. A lot of times when you're like, you know, when they're doing all these like Halloween things or this things that depict the devil, they put like a devil with a big horn and all those scary things. I don't think he's scary like that. He's very sleek, calculated. But I'm going to end this point with something. And I'm going to end us with this point. John 10, 10, the same verse, but the B part. It says, in the first part, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I'm going to leave us with the second part. And Jesus said something. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Do you understand? So even though we're talking about temptation, we're talking about all these things, one thing we must bear in mind is this. No matter how sophisticated the temptation of the devil is, no matter how crafty he is, Jesus said that he's right there to give us life to the fullest. So this morning, I'm going to end there. And I'm going to ask that we all rise and pray. Now, I want us to pray a number of prayers this morning. And the first thing is that we might have been tempted in the past. Maybe we've made choices that we're not really happy about. We all have. We've, you know, made decisions that were based on things that, you know, we really look back and we're like, man, how I wish I'd never done this. And those thoughts sometimes come back to haunt us. And those thoughts are like, look, you can never be anything. You've made this mistake. Jesus said in John 10:10, the B part, that he has come to give us life. There is also a part in Isaiah that he says, look, forget the former things. So this morning, I want us to come to terms with whatever decisions we've made in the past that we're not pleased with. Because God is telling us this morning that, look, leave those things. You've made those mistakes in the past. Those things are gone. Put them aside and let us carry on. So this morning, I just want us to talk to God and just really tell him, Lord, you know, this is on my mind. I did this and all that. And I'm not really pleased with it, but I just hand these things to you. Because Jesus says he has come to give us life. He says all things have passed away. He says that when we come to him with an open heart, it doesn't matter. He will wipe away everything. And whatever consequences that we're facing from those decisions we've made in the past, God can ease out those consequences as well. So this morning we just ask God, all the things that we've done in the past out of temptation, help us. Help us to deal with the consequences. Heal our hearts from those decisions that we've made. Heal our hearts. And I'll just pray for us. Father, I thank you for your word, the simplicity of your word. We thank you that you have not just left us on our own to go around this world on our own with our own strength. You said that you've come to give us life that we might have life to the fullest. Father, I'm praying for everyone that is here that has gone through one form of temptation or the other that has caused them to make wrong decisions. That, Father, the consequences of those decisions, Father, I'm asking that you will bring them under the blood this morning in Jesus' name. And I pray for everyone who is facing a temptation at this point in time and for the ones that we will face in the future. I'm asking, Father, for strength. I'm asking for your help, that you will keep us under the shadow of your wings. You have said in your word that no one will snatch us from your hands. Father, we thank you because I know that you've heard us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray.